It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The other day we did a segment on changes to the foster care system. And what struck me about that conversation is that the reason the foster care system is in need of change is the tremendous load put on it by opioid addiction. It colors, it seems, so much of what people are dealing with in Wisconsin. Politicians want to help. That's what public servants are actually supposed to do. But what's the line between saying, I can help, and I want to use this issue to drive a wedge between voters? We want to hear from you. What's your take on the campaign advertisements that address the challenge of opioid addiction in the state? Are they uncomfortable for you? Do you like that they focus on addiction and leave out partisan attacks? Or when you watch them, do you actually see partisanship? 1-800-642-1234 is the number we want you to call. Ideas@WPR.org is the email that you can use, or you can tweet WPR Mornings. Jesse Opoyan covers state government and politics for the Capital Times. Her recent piece, The Addiction Election, Can Candidates Call Attention to the Opioid Issue Without Politicizing It?, explores how this issue is being addressed so far this campaign season. Jesse, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a correction here. In the opening, I said that Scott Walker's ad featured a family whose son died of opioid addiction. He did not die. He's in treatment, and he's been in treatment for a few years.
He has been in recovery for 9 years. Yep.
Okay. So that's a great success story. And
yes.
I apologize for that. So let's talk about Tammy Baldwin's very personal connection to addiction. Talk to me.
So Tammy Baldwin, she has often shared throughout her time in public life that she was raised by her grandparents. What she hasn't shared publicly up until a few months ago is that that is because her mother, among other ailments, suffered from addiction to opioids and other medications that she was prescribed. So Tammy Baldwin shared this for the first time at a Senate committee hearing. When a mother shared her own story, Tammy Baldwin stepped in and said, you know, I want you to know this is something I grew up with. And she then shared that more publicly in Wisconsin with voters through a campaign ad. It was very personal, very raw, talking about growing up as a child, pounding on the door, you know, not getting an answer because her mother was passed out inside. Mm. And, you know, the effect that had on her growing up and why that means so much to her now as an elected official.
I'm curious, do you think she planned to come out with this information in that Senate hearing, or was it just kind of spontaneous as a reaction?
I asked her that. You know, she had been thinking about whether this was the right time to share this. Her mother passed away last year, and she started to think around that time, you know, as she heard from other people sharing their own stories of her mother, maybe this is something that I should start talking about. So in that Senate hearing, she had read the testimony, I believe the night before, had seen that this woman was going to talk about the importance of people talking about this, trying to eliminate the stigma and, you know, make it more acceptable to just have a conversation about it, let other people know that they aren't alone. So that was something that she'd been thinking about. And, you know, at that point, she decided it was time to share.
So you mentioned that she played a campaign ad after that hearing. Let's listen to the ad.
I remember what it was like to come home from school and not be able to get into the house. I'd pound on the door, but my mother wouldn't answer. She'd be passed out inside. My mother had a drug abuse problem. She struggled with addiction to prescription drugs her whole life. I had to grow up fast, very fast. So when I see the opioid crisis that's wrecking so many Wisconsin families, all I can tell you is I've been there. I know how hard this fight is. I know the stigma that comes with drug abuse and mental illness. I've worked with Republicans and Democrats to get the funding Wisconsin needs, so people have somewhere to turn for help. It's just a start. 15 people a week are overdosing in Wisconsin. This is a crisis for our country and far too many Wisconsin families.
15 people a week are overdosing in Wisconsin. I would love to dig into those numbers. Are those numbers available?
They are. So there are sort of two sets of statistics that people look at when it comes to this crisis. One is a promising set, and that is the fact that prescription rates are going down.
Right.
So part of the conversation is, can we address the root of this problem? And often that is happening through a prescription. So In Wisconsin, those rates are going down nationally. They're also going down in Wisconsin. At the same time, we are seeing overdose rates rise, 883 in the last year, overdose deaths in Wisconsin. And that's an increase from the year before. From 2015 to 2017, there was a really significant increase, about 35% mm-hmm. in those overdose deaths. So while prescriptions are going down, overdose admittances to the ER and then deaths are still going up.
Interesting. And after this ad came out with Tammy Baldwin, that's when Scott Walker's ad came out. Let's hear that one.
Tyler was only 80 pounds. I had his funeral planned.
I was addicted for years, but we stuck together as a family and we fought back.
We are the lucky ones. We still have our son.
And really, that's why we started Your Choice to Live, to help others.
We need support like Governor Walker's Hope Agenda.
We've seen too many families devastated by addiction. Together, we passed bipartisan legislation to reduce opioid abuse and increase drug treatment to save lives.
So what is the Hope Agenda?
The Hope Agenda is a legislative initiative that started, I believe, in 2013 in the legislature. It was really spearheaded by a particular legislator, Representative John Nygren from Marinette. He's a Republican, and his daughter has struggled with heroin addiction for much of her adult life, and really her since her late teens. And so through his experience with that, he came to have a personal connection like so many people do. We started working on passing legislation. Really, the first set of bills looked at heroin specifically. The second set looked at prescription drugs, and now they're kind of moving forward. So this has been things like expanding funding for treatment courts, expanding availability of Narcan, the antidote to overdoses. It's really been looking at sort of prevention efforts, and then how do we encourage people to get treatment. And it's been an incredibly bipartisan effort, all but one of 30 bills passed the legislature with unanimous support.
We are talking to Jesse Opoyan about overdose issues and addiction issues in Wisconsin. And the way that politicians have been addressing this, do you think that this is a partisan thing, these ads that politicians are putting out? Or do you think that this is something that public servants just should do? They should care about what's happening to the people that they serve. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Jesse, these two people in these very different races are examples of how politicians are talking about opioid addictions. But what is the pushback that you're hearing that they're doing this? I mean, could it be just sort of a let's have a commission that puts out ads about opioid addiction? Why is this a campaign issue?
I think the common sentiment is people are happy that this is being talked about as long as partisan attacks are left out of it. I spoke with some recovery advocates, some addiction awareness advocates who are happy to see this being injected into the public conversation in a real way. And, you know, thus far, these ads haven't really pointed fingers at the other side or placed blame on anyone for not getting things done. So, I mean, mostly people are happy about it. There is some pushback would be that politicians haven't done enough so far, or I think that's less of a criticism in the state of Wisconsin because they have done a lot at the legislative level. But something for Tammy Baldwin is her office's slow response to reports of opioid issues at the Tomah Veterans Health Center. So, some of her opponents in that race have said, is she just putting this out now because of issues with that? While at the same time, I think they're recognizing this is a real personal issue for her and not necessarily second-guessing that.
I think that there is widespread agreement that politicians, political leaders were kind of behind the eight ball on this, that opioid addiction was a huge thing and affecting many families before our leaders turned around and went, oh, what's going on here? I mean, Hillary Clinton, even during the 2016 election, was surprised that it was such a huge issue.
Yeah. In Wisconsin, at the state level, it has been recognized in some ways for being a little bit ahead of the curve, relative to other states, not necessarily relative to the problem. And, you know, the unfortunate truth about this and many other issues is that it sometimes doesn't get addressed until it hits home for someone who's in a position to do something about it.
That is true. We will talk about that more. We are discussing the opioid issue in Wisconsin, how politicians are addressing it, and what you think of the political ads that have been playing talking about this. We'll be back with Jesse Opoyan in a moment. And I'm Carrie Kaufman, and it's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Opioid addiction is a real problem in Wisconsin, and politicians have begun to address it. Both Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin have put out ads about addiction, Baldwin detailing the personal story of her mother's addiction. Jesse Opoyan wrote about the issue of addiction and politicians addressing it in the Capital Times. What is your experience with addiction? Were you perhaps in Milwaukee in the 1990s at the height of the city's crack crisis? How was the reaction from politicians then different from what it is now? Do you have a similar story from 20 years ago that people are telling today? Share it with us, 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Jesse, there are a number of states that have been suing pharmaceutical companies for flooding the market with drugs and misleading doctors about their addictive properties. Was Wisconsin part of that suit?
Wisconsin is not part of that. And that is actually a flashpoint in the upcoming attorney general race, because the Democrat who's running against Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel is saying that Wisconsin should be part of that. So Brad Schimmel's argument is Wisconsin isn't part of that effort, but it is part of a coalition of states that are investigating those companies. And the difference being, he says that the discovery process is a little more open in this investigation, and perhaps would lead to a settlement more quickly than a lawsuit would. He also says if the investigation determines that a lawsuit is appropriate, the state can move forward with that. But that is something that he is catching some criticism for from Democratic politicians.
It seems to me that it's partly a money and resources issue. If the states are pooling their money and resources together, it's costing them less per state. What does he say about that?
Yeah, that's a good argument. You know, I think he is, you know, he could say the same thing for this investigation because, you know, the states are pulling resources on that. But, you know, for whatever reason, he's determined this is the route that he wants to take on it.
For your piece, you talked to the family in Governor Walker's ads, put a human face on this. Who are these people?
So the Liebert family, it's, you know, mother, father, son and daughter, and their son, Tyler. They grew up in an affluent part of the state, which, you know, the takeaway from much of this is this does affect people everywhere, mm-hmm. of all socioeconomic statuses. So, yeah, their son, Tyler, was going through this, you know, more than a decade ago at a time when it wasn't really being talked about. You know, he started drinking, started experimenting with other drugs, found his way to heroin by his late teens and into his early 20s. And it really tore the family apart, and they didn't know how to deal with it because there weren't really resources. There weren't places for them to go and talk about it. They felt like they were shunned by, you know, their community for having this problem. And, you know, they tried lots of different things, lots of different treatment options. And it really got to the point where their family relationship was so strained that they issued an ultimatum and said, if you want to go forward with treatment, we'll be there for you. But if you're going to keep using, we can't really continue to support you. And that stuck. And he went forward and went through treatment, and the family, through counseling and a lot of conversation and hard work, has been able to pull together. And it's as close to a success story as you can have, with the acknowledgement that, you know, at any day that can change. Addiction doesn't go away. You just find ways to manage it and you know, recover from the problem. So they've started a nonprofit organization really trying to offer other families support that wasn't there for them when they were dealing with this.
It's not a treatment organization. It's an organization to get people to treatment.
It is. Yep. It's part prevention efforts, you know, speaking to families and students and schools, talking about warning signs and, you know, reasons to stay away from drugs and alcohol, and part offering the resources, directing people to the treatment options that exist.
We are talking about opioid addiction, heroin addiction, addiction in Wisconsin, in the wake of a couple of political ads that have addressed the issue, and a lot of people talking about addiction in this state and how it is affecting so many other things, like the foster care system. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Has this affected you? Has it affected you and your family in the past? Do you know somebody who it was affected by? I want to talk. I found that the use of the word shunned really interesting, Jesse. Have you been shunned, or your family been shunned, because you had somebody had an addiction problem? How did that make you feel? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. This is also an issue. It's not just Tammy Baldwin and Scott Walker. It's coming up in the gubernatorial race on the Democratic side. How are the eight candidates left addressing this?
I think one thing that they universally, I believe, agree on is that they say that Governor Walker should have accepted the federal Medicaid expansion money. Mm. They argue that would have expanded access to health care, health insurance, and treatment for people who are dealing with this. So that's a number one. This being a sort of bipartisan issue, some of them are fairly reluctant to criticize what's been done, because it has been a bipartisan effort mm-hmm. here in Wisconsin. That being said, a couple of candidates have talked about funding treatment alternative and diversion efforts more than the state already does. They talk about trying to model. One candidate, Kathleen Vinehout, has talked about trying to model some of the Wisconsin's efforts after Minnesota's sort of community-based mental health and substance abuse initiatives, where they really try to put those two hand in hand, because it is true that the mental health issues and addiction often do go hand in hand.
And Minnesota has done better within Wisconsin on this issue?
She would argue that. Yeah, I don't know. Offhand numbers in terms of overdoses or prescriptions there, but they certainly do have fewer people incarcerated, which is another part of this conversation.
Flynn, candidate, wants to boost funding for pain management and research. Pain management is an issue as part of this. People are genuinely in pain, and then they get addicted to the drugs.
That's a huge part of this conversation, and that's something. I'll say, when I talked to Republican politicians too, that they said, you know, that the next step forward on this is talking about how do we expand access to things like acupuncture or chiropractic treatment, or, you know, other ways to try to address pain. Something that the Democratic candidates are talking about that Republicans are not talking about as much is legalizing marijuana, either for medical use or recreational use. And I think most of the Democrats agree, at least on medical use, not all on recreational. But, that's something. Research on that is really in the early stages mm-hmm. in terms of. There are some studies that would suggest that maybe, you know, opioid use goes down and maybe this is an okay substitute, but there are some that say maybe not. So, we don't know the answer to that yet. But it's all part of that conversation of alternatives, because yes, people do have pain, and in some cases opioids are still the right answer. And I think the officials that I've talked to want to be really careful to say, you know, we're not going to take these away from people who need them. It's just a maybe not everyone needs them. Maybe we start that conversation a little bit earlier.
Opioid addiction in this focus from Senator Baldwin, we heard her out about her mother's experience earlier. What are the candidates who are vying for the chance to face off against her this fall talking about this addiction?
Yeah, so there are two Republican candidates running in the primary to face Tammy Baldwin. Kevin Nicholson is one of them. And when I spoke with him, what he really focused on was trying to find ways to encourage people to get off of public assistance and into work. And part of that being drug testing and drug testing requirements for public assistance, because if you're going to have a job, you probably, you know, need to pass a drug test. Right. So his argument was really that people who are receiving public assistance may be incentivized to continue using drugs. That's not
second,
something
though.
That we heard from a lot of people.
Okay.
And it's also, you know, this is, as we know, this is an issue that cuts across all socioeconomic lines.
Right.
So
it cuts across all socioeconomic lines. Also, you would want to help people. Wouldn't you want to incentivize people on public assistance to be able to get off drugs?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that seems like a punishment more than a let me help you move forward thing.
So one thing that is often attached, and at least has been in Wisconsin, and this is a discussion at the federal level too, but in Wisconsin, when this has come up, it's been tied to, you know, if you fail that drug test, you do receive access to treatment. So the hope, okay, I guess, is sort of a hand up and help you out of it. But
the other part of that is that not everybody on public assistance is on drugs. It's probably the
in
same
fact,
percent.
It's, yes. Yeah. This is other states that have had requirements like this have incredibly low rates when they do this kind of testing. As you said, it's really
it's stigma.
Yes. That population on public assistance is not any more likely to be using drugs than anyone else.
And Leah Vukmir
talked about, so she's a nurse and she is a member of the state legislature. So she has been involved in these HOPE agenda efforts at the state level. So she really talked a lot about that, looking forward to what do we do next in terms of alternative pain management. You know, she comes from the healthcare perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something that's been successful in Wisconsin is that the healthcare community has really been part of the conversation. So changes to things like prescribing guidelines, or the state has a prescription drug monitoring program that is, by all accounts, sort of ahead of the game compared to other states. And this is a resource for physicians before they prescribe a controlled substance to a patient to check and see what else is this person taking, what else have they been prescribed, you know, are they shopping around with other doctors to try to get something like this? So, so that's something that she really championed, improving developments on that, and then having conversations about how do we make sure people have access to things like acupuncture, things like chiropractic treatment to try to manage their pain in other ways.
We are talking about addiction in Wisconsin and how politicians are addressing it. How has it affected you and your family and your friends and neighbors? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We want to hear your stories of addiction and how maybe it's evolved over the years, as I think that many, many political leaders have evolved on this. I want to ask you about, you know, Tammy Baldwin and Leah Vukmir are running for federal offices. Tammy mm-hmm. Baldwin is a senator from the state of Wisconsin. And other people, the governor candidates are obviously running for a state office. How much of this is a state issue that can be fixed, and how much of this is a federal issue?
So what we've seen thus far in terms of federal efforts, a lot of it has been tied to grant funding to go to states to let them figure it out. And that was something, you know, the efforts that Tammy Baldwin has championed, and the approach that Leah Vukmir talked about, sort of similar in that regard, to be honest, is this grant funding. Mm-hmm. And Leah Vukmir argued this should really entirely be decided by states, because states are the ones who can really see, you know, which areas of their state need funding the most, you know, where does it need to go? So, to a certain degree, the federal government can help. They can talk about prescribing guidelines. They can talk about, CDC is the federal body that is researching and, mm-hmm. and tracking things like how are states comparing to each other. So there's a funding perspective that the federal government plays a really important role in. But a lot of these things need to be really taken care of at the state level, because it's conversations about regulations that are, you know, governed by states.
So talk to me about marketing and messaging, and how maybe the federal government and the CDC or state government can put out ads, just not from political candidates,
yeah.
that maybe actually talk to 5-year-olds, you know, about not starting, about how, you know, going down the right path to begin with, or going to schools. What are we doing in that regard?
That's a good question. I don't know of specific efforts, but I would say the effort to change the perception and conversation at really every level has a lot to do with the way that we look at pain. So there's been some conversation about when the medical community started looking at pain as the fifth vital sign, and saying, you know, when you go into the doctor's office and they show you the little chart, yeah. or the scale 1 to 10 or the smiley faces, and say, you know, what's your pain level today? And for a very long time, the focus has been, well, what can we do to fix that? And, you know, how do we get rid of your pain? And the answer to that for a long time, as we know now, thanks to the marketing of opioid,
right.
Pharmaceutical companies, was, we'll give you an opioid prescription. So there are public awareness campaigns. And there was one, that the state of Wisconsin did from the Department of Justice, called Dose of Reality, that talk about, treating your prescriptions as potentially dangerous substances, because they are, not necessarily assuming when you have your wisdom teeth taken out that you need a bottle of 20 Vicodin.
Whoa. And see, the thing about that is the doctors prescribe to you mm-hmm. a bottle of 20.
And so you assume that it's safe. So it's changing that from the doctor's perspective, the prescribing perspective of, you know, that we don't necessarily need to be prescribing this, and that's changing, and it's changing it from the patient's perspective of not expecting to be handed that. And so that's that is a huge part of public awareness campaigns.
Really quickly here, David from Milwaukee called. He said he sees that families struggle to address opioid addiction because it's awkward and difficult, so no one talks about it. He says it's good that politicians are finally addressing the opioid crisis. One of the things that we can explore and when we come back is, there seems to be a little bit of a striation between being in pain and having your doctor prescribe something, and being a 15-year-old or an 18-year-old and being addicted to perhaps those drugs. Mm-hmm. Where are they getting those drugs? Their doctor's not necessarily prescribing them, and how that relates to heroin. We are talking about opioid and heroin addiction this morning on The Morning Show, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also go to you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. And tell us your stories about opioid addictions. We'd like to talk to you this morning. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Opioid and heroin addiction have affected many families in Wisconsin, and politicians are trying to figure out ways to help. Both Tammy Baldwin and Scott Walker have put out ads that talk about addiction, and other candidates are addressing the issue. Jesse Opoyan of the Capital Times dubbed 2008 the addiction election. Advocates, let us know. Is the awareness out there a good thing? What do you think about how the campaigns are addressing opioid addiction? And what worries you about the fact that politicians are talking about this in campaign ads? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So I want to talk a little bit about what we ended before the last break. Doctors are prescribing opioids for pain addiction. And we actually talked a couple of weeks ago to a doctor who said opioids don't actually work for pain addiction. But how does it get then to the market to be resold to get into the hands of, say, teenagers who aren't necessarily in pain?
Yeah, so there's a couple different aspects to this. One is, that there was such a focus on prescribing opioids for all kinds of pain, whether it be acute or chronic, and doctors are reevaluating how they do that. But if you are prescribed a large amount of opioids for something, that is a one-time issue, and you've got that bottle sitting around, that's how a lot of the pills get to people who don't need them because, right, they're in the medicine cabinet. So that's something that, first of all, doctors are prescribing less. And so that's one way to tackle that. The other thing is, the Department of Justice has done drug take back days. So they're trying to encourage people to get rid of these pills that are sitting around in a safe, monitored way. Don't just hold on to them because you have them. So it's one risk is that people, have the bottle of pills. They think, I wasn't prescribed these for this particular ailment, but I have them. I know they might treat this pain, so I'm going to take one. And so they're taking them not as prescribed. So the idea with these drug take back days is that if you've got leftovers after what you were prescribed this pill for, bring them in. And that's for all kinds of medications. There are safe ways to dispose of medication.
And you can't flush them. If you flush them, then they contaminate the sewer system. Yes. We've got Kathy from Deerfield who wants to talk about money in terms of treating this. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for talking about this topic. I was wondering, will any of the grant money or are the politicians touching on the topic of treatment? Right now, treatment centers are available for patients with means, but if you have limited insurance or you don't have funding available to yourself personally, there's no treatment available. And the treatment centers that we do have, are they checked by the state? Are they regulated?
Great questions, Kathy. Thank you. So first, money for treatment. Do we do that? And can we do that better in this state?
That is the thing. I think everyone in this conversation would agree more can be done. One issue in particular is this is a large state in terms of geography, large swaths of rural areas where there isn't access. And so one thing that what state funding has gone to this in the last budget cycle was starting to look at funding treatment in rural areas in particular or underserved areas. So we are starting to see more of a focus on trying to direct funding toward the areas that need it most and maybe don't have the means.
Do we need more funding?
Would
people be willing to pay for more funding in terms of taxes?
That's a good question. are people ever willing to pay more taxes? That's the problem with the state budget. It's a large pie with money that needs to be cut in a lot of different ways. And so, is this a priority? Yes.
Is it rising to the top?
But does it rise to the top? That's, that's a discussion that's had during every budget cycle.
The other thing that the caller that Kathy brought up are these centers regulated? And I wanted to, she's off the air now. I wanted to ask her about possibility that, what her experience was did she find a center that wasn't really doing what it was supposed to be doing? But are they regulated?
That is a great question that I don't know the answer to.
That's really interesting. We are talking about opioid and heroin addiction and how politicians are addressing that. Give us a call with your stories, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel, who you mentioned earlier, is fighting opioid addiction. He says it's a top priority, though he is not part of this this state lawsuit. He was a Republican. He was first elected in 2014. And let's hear what he has to say on this.
We know that more than 80% of the heroin addicts started by becoming addicted to prescription narcotic painkillers. We also know that 71% of the time, they didn't get them from a doctor. They didn't get them from a street drug dealer. They got them from a family member or a friend. That's why we've prioritized treatment and prevention over the last 3 years. And that's why the work on the opioid crisis isn't finished.
So Schimmel says this is a crisis. What's he going to do about it?
He's talking about more focus on the law enforcement side of this now. You know, what he said in the ad is that so far a lot of efforts have been focused on prevention, and I think that continues to be part of the focus, but now it's looking at things like drug trafficking and trying to crack down on that. And something that he is starting to really beat the drum on is not just opioids and heroin now, but methamphetamines, which are, you know, it used to be, you talked to a lot of people who are in office in different parts of the state. It used to be sort of the western side of the state had more of a meth issue, and the eastern side of the state had more of an opioid and heroin issue. And that really just, you know, those lines don't exist anymore. Meth is a growing issue throughout the state. So that's another thing that Brad Schimmel is really starting to talk about.
So he wants to put people in jail for selling drugs, but often people are selling drugs because they're addicted to drugs themselves, and it's kind of a marketplace. Have those efforts succeeded in the past, just putting people in jail because they have a drug issue?
Well, that's a touchy area. You know, you want to get at, I think, and this is really something that his Democratic opponent talked about too. It's going after the people at the top of the chain, not so much people in the middle of it or down at the bottom. But that is the
top
issue
of the chain
here.
meeting pharmaceutical companies who are pushing these drugs. And his Democratic opponent is Josh Call, right?
Yes.
So what does Call think that we should be doing?
So one thing that he does think that the state should sue the pharmaceutical companies. One other thing that he talked about is sort of reorganizing priorities within the DOJ to say that heroin and opioid trafficking is the DOJ's top drug enforcement priority. And I think the implication there is that you're not necessarily going after people for marijuana. You're not going after other drugs. You're going after this specific subset and saying, you know, I guess sort of making that publicly known to say this is where our priorities are.
We are talking about opioid addiction, and we're taking your calls in the few minutes we have left. 800-642-1234. I did a call out earlier. If you actually are in Milwaukee and you dealt with opioid with crack addiction in the 90s, what are the different ways that you see politicians dealing with this now? How are you? What's the feedback you're getting about this? Kind of, politicians are really on this now, and they weren't on this 20, 25 years ago when you were a little girl.
Yes. I mean, that is, yeah, I wasn't
experiencing that.
Yes,
you weren't reporting then.
Wasn't reporting then, I'll say. But no, that is something that comes up because, you know, that was a real issue, and the response to that was much more criminalizing addiction at that point, you know, and now I think everyone applauds the effort now to try to reduce the stigma, to not criminalize addiction, but to treat it. But that wasn't what was happening then. And people are frustrated. And there's a racial implication there because this is a particular drug problem that has affected people of all color, all races, all classes. But, you know, there are questions about, are politicians paying attention to this now because it's affecting white affluent people?
We are talking about opioid addiction this hour on The Morning Show for the last few minutes. You talked in your piece, Jesse, about awareness, advocates of addiction. What's your takeaway about how candidates and political parties are kind of zooming in on this as Election Day approaches? Are we going to see more of these kinds of ads?
I think we will. Politicians want to talk about things that resonate with voters, and this is something that unfortunately resonates with a lot of people. I think there will be a point at which voters will be asking politicians to talk a little more specifically about what are you going to do about it. We're really in the early stages of ads at this point, and most of these ads are just saying, you know, I'm aware of the problem and I'm going to help. Probably at a certain point, we're going to start hearing more specifics, or I would at least think the voters would start asking for them.
And when you talk to medical professionals, are they okay with these ads being out there?
I think their take on it is the same as most other people in the recovery community that I talk to, which is if it's a positive thing, if it's helping, you know, basically if it's a public service awareness type ad, then yes. But again, they don't want to see this politicized either. In Wisconsin, the medical community has really partnered more with lawmakers than we necessarily see in some other areas. But they have that buy-in.
We have been talking about opioid addiction with Jesse Opoyan. Your name and opioid are
it's a little
similar.
Tricky, yeah.
We've been talking about opioid addiction with Jesse Opoyan, who writes for the Capital Times. She wrote a piece exploring how candidates are addressing opioid addiction this campaign season in Wisconsin. Thank you for being here, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.